pumped the air of the lock back into the body of the ship, and opened the outer port. For meteor miners do not work inside their ships. It takes too much time to bring the metal in through the airlocks. It also wastes air, and air is precious, not only in money, although that is no minor item, but also because no small ship stocked for a 6 weeks' run can carry any more air than is really needed. Set up, he studied his electrodes and flicked his tractor beams out to a passing fragment of metal, which flashed up to him almost instantaneously. Or rather, the inertialess tugboat flashed across space to the comparatively tiny but inert spit of metal which he was about to investigate. With expert ease, Kinnison clamped the meteorite down and rammed into it his Spalding drill, the tool which, in one operation, cuts out and polishes a cylindrical sample exactly 1 inch in diameter and exactly 1 inch long. Kinnison took the sample, placed it in the jaw of his Speegee, and cut his berg. Going inert in an asteroid belt is dangerous business, but it is only one of a meteor miner's hazards, and it is necessary. For the torsiometer is the quickest and simplest means of determining the specific gravity of metal out in space, and no torsion equipment will work upon inertialess matter. He read the scale, even as he turned on the berg. 7.9. Iron. Worthless. Big operators could use it. The asteroid belts had long since supplanted the mines of the worlds of sources of iron, but it wouldn't do him a bit of good. Therefore, tossing it aside, he speared another, another, and another. Hour after hour, day after day, the back-breaking, lonely labor of the meteor miner. But very few of the bona fide miners had the gray lensman's physique or his stamina, and not one of them all had even a noteworthy fraction of his brain. And brain counts, even in meteor mining. Hence, Kinnison found pay metal. Quite a few really good, although not phenomenally dense, pieces. Then, one day, there happened a thing which, if it was not in actual fact premeditated, was as mathematically improbable, almost, as the formation of a planetary solar system. An occurrence that was to exemplify in startling and hideous fashion the doctrine of tooth and fang, which is the only law of the asteroid belts. Two tractor beams seized, at almost the same instant, the same meteor. Two ships, flashing up to zone contact in the twinkling of an eye, the inoffensive meteor squarely between them. And in the airlock of the other tug there were two men, not one. Two men, already going for their guns with the practiced ease of space-hardened veterans to whom the killing of a man was the veriest bagatelle.